This is episode 2306 of the Daily Meditation Podcast. I'm Mary Meckley, and I welcome you to a new series we're launching into this week. This week, you are in for a treat. I'm experimenting with something new. I really want to share your stories here a little more on the Daily Meditation Podcast. And so I'm going to occasionally be interviewing your fellow meditators, and that could include you. If you would like to be interviewed to share your own meditation journey here on the Daily Meditation Podcast, I invite you to reach out to me. You can send me an email to mary@sipandom.com, or you can go to my Sip and Om Instagram account, and there you can direct message me. That's the way most of you reach out to me. That is sort of where I like to be connected to you, because I show up there every day as well, and I share a journal prompt. I should mention that to you more often. I share a journal prompt on my Sip and Om Instagram stories. The journal prompt always has to do with the day's meditation. So if you are a journaler, that is where you can find some daily journaling inspiration. So back to our series. You are going to meet your fellow meditator, Kristen Neubauer. Kristen is a journalist in Washington, D.C. with Reuters. She has an interesting background, and she has a beautiful meditation ritual, and she shares that with you in the interview. She came up with all the meditation techniques for this week's series, as well as the theme and your weekly challenge. So it's a meditation series customized by your fellow meditator, Kristen. The theme this week is an important one. The theme Kristen selected is looking inward to be more present in your day-to-day life. So this week, you'll be journeying inward. I'll share with you throughout the week meditations customized with the meditation techniques that Kristen selected. After you listen to the interview, I encourage you to settle yourself down, just as you always do, and to sit in stillness and reflect. Reflect on what you would like your week to be like this week. And there's a special challenge I mentioned to you that Kristen selected, and that will help guide you as you meditate today. So, without further ado, I introduce you to your fellow meditator, Kristen.
So, I have the honor to have with me here one of your fellow meditators,
Kristen Neubauer.
She is a journalist from Washington, D.C. She's originally from Connecticut, and she actually works right around the corner from the White House. And she even created a little meditation space in her office, which has a dynamic, powerful view. And I'm sure she'll share that with us in the interview. A little bit about her is that besides meditation, she likes to ride horses, and she does this at least once a week. She also loves creative writing, and she likes art as well. So Kristen, welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Mary. I really appreciate the opportunity to be on here. And hello, everyone, all fellow meditators out there.
I'm so happy that you're here, and you're one of our first interviews. So this is really exciting. And I would love to hear just a little bit about you, maybe where you're from originally, and maybe how you came about listening to the podcast.
Okay, well, originally I'm from a little town in Connecticut called Monroe. It's about, it's in southwestern Connecticut, about an hour outside of New York. And I lived there for most of my life. And then I bounced around a little bit from Boston for college and then New York and Central America and Washington, where I am now. How I came to meditating into the podcast is a really, it's kind of a gradual journey. The years 2010 to about 2014 were really tumultuous for me. I spent a lot of time in Haiti on assignment after the earthquake, a lot of political upheaval there at the time. It's kind of back and forth and back and forth. Meanwhile, I was taking care of a horse who was very, he had been injured in a bad accident and he had a lot of disabilities and he was a very, very good friend of mine. So I took care of him as much as I could. And my partner and I were taking care of our aging dog as well. And that was a really difficult time. And I was feeling very burned out from my job at the time, especially after all that time in Haiti. And Bear, the horse, he passed away in 2013. And then my dog passed away in 2014. And all of that was a lot to take in. And I started having panic attacks. Never had it in my life. Just, I even collapsed in the office one day. Just everything went dark and I keeled over and, you know, wound up going to the doctor. And he said, it's panic attacks, that's all. So I started thinking about meditating and I tried a few different things that I heard about. Nothing really stuck. I'd read how good it was, but nothing worked. I had a really hard time sitting there still. Nothing magical happened. It was just sort of like, what's the big deal? But I was also listening to a lot of podcasts. And so I looked around for a meditation podcast. And fortunately, yours is called the Daily Meditation Podcast. And that's what came up. And when I started listening to that, that's really what started clicking for me. Again, like you've said in other broadcasts, it's not as though anything particularly magical happened, but it just felt right for me. I loved the instruction. I loved the intro and the inspiration you gave. I loved the different themes that you covered each week. And while I wasn't able, because my schedule varies so much, I wasn't able every day to listen to one. I just found myself gravitating back to the podcast over and over again. So when you started the app, it was great. I was so happy. And over the years that I've been listening, I find myself really needing to hear the podcast or the app or the podcast in the morning. It really sets my day off well. And if I don't have that, something definitely feels missing from my day. I've learned enough from you where I can create my own meditation space, even if I haven't listened to the inspiration and the instruction for the day, but I really find so much value in that. It's kind of like a balm. I kind of feel like I've had a balm put on when I am able to listen to that. So that's kind of a very long answer to your question.
Oh, no, thank you. It was a beautiful answer. And thank you so much for listening. And I want to congratulate you for being so consistent and for noticing what you need and allowing yourself to have breaks and then come back to it, allowing yourself to not always be guided, but to sit down and do your own meditation too. That's the goal. I meditate with guided meditations myself, but I also meditate on my own. I think that if you're part of a meditation group, then you can really nicely meditate on your own if you're meeting regularly. I used to meet with a group actually when I lived just outside of Washington, D.C., where you are. We would meet at someone's home in Alexandria, and we would meet once a week, and then we went to every other week. And so that kind of just touching base with new inspiration, refreshing techniques, just kind of, you know, getting back to the roots of meditation. And then I would take it out on my own. But I think it's very similar just to like a fitness program where mm-hmm. you know, it's nice to have something new, some new technique or new instruction. It just keeps things fresh, but you know, still you can do it on your own. So I know that your time in Latin America must have been amazing. And you mentioned in the chat we had before the interview that you speak Spanish. You also work for
Reuters Media.
How long have you worked for them as a journalist?
I started freelancing with them at the end of 2001, and I did that for until March of 2003 when they hired me on staff.
Wow, that's exciting. Well, I'm sorry to hear about your horse and your dog and all of that. You are obviously an animal lover. I think we have that in common with a lot of the meditators have mentioned, and myself included. I really love animals. I would like to ask you a little bit about your meditation journey, which you've already shared about. Is there a specific story that really resonates with you that you might want to share with people as inspiration, or just as maybe some way you overcame a challenge in your own meditation ritual?
I kind of have two answers to that, if that's okay. The challenge in my own meditation ritual was setting my expectations really high at the beginning. And I don't think that's unusual for the kind of culture and society we live in. I think we live in a culture where we really do set high expectations and we're a bunch of perfectionists. And I think, as probably a lot of new meditators do, I came into it sort of thinking, well, I have to sit still for 20 minutes. And oh my gosh, I can't do that. This is so hard. I can't even sit still for 5 minutes. What's wrong with me? Oh no, this is terrible. It's not going to work. It's never going to happen. Oh no. That went through my head. I think the instruction that you give has been really helpful to me to understand we shouldn't have those expectations, and we should really do the best with what we have at the time. And I think taking on your instruction, as well as, you know, doing some of my own reading and just sort of general reflecting on my career and my own life, I started letting that go. And I started saying, look, I'm going to do what I can do. And lo and behold, I suddenly started really enjoying 5 minutes of stillness and meditation. And then, wow, how did that turn into 8 minutes? And oh my gosh, that turned into 10 minutes. And, you know, it varies from day to day. I mean, some days I will, you know, it'll still be 5 minutes. I'll be like, oh, I just can't do this today. But by and large, for the most part, I would say that after the music trails off, on average, I'm probably having about 10 to 15 minutes of really solid stillness where I get really kind of zen and deep, and it's like, whoa, that's cool. But it took a long time to get there. But then the other challenge that I wanted to tell a story about, which I told you about in the email the other day, happened just the other day, like not even a week ago. It was on Sunday. And I'd been having a really good day, very chill at the house, nothing going on. And then I went to the grocery store to go get something for dinner. And, you know, I live in a small suburban neighborhood in Alexandria, funny enough. And you know, in our little neighborhood, it's supposed to be 25 miles an hour, but people drive around really fast. And they were doing that on Sunday when I went to the store. And I was getting tailgated because I go the speed limit. And I got into the parking lot and everybody was just kind of crazy. I got into the store and people were, you know, cutting people off and just kind of how it is, you know, it wasn't anything unusual. But I started getting really kind of frustrated and angry and sort of grumpy. But I was able to feel that happening within myself, which is a little unusual. I think normally we just react without really thinking about it. But I actually thought, oh, wow, all of this is throwing off my balance and my energy. I wonder what I could do about it. So when I finished in the store, I got back out to my car and I just sat there before turning the car on. And I just held the mudra. I can't remember the name of it, but it's the one that says it's the okay sign, the grounding one. What's that called?
Jnana mudra.
That one.
Yes.
Yeah. And I held that and I did some breathing exercises. And I really was thinking about what you'd said in one of the recent recordings where you talked about the external energy affecting the internal energy. And I was like, okay, this is all external. I don't have to let this affect my balance internally. And let's just focus on that for a few minutes and kind of bring myself back to my own internal energy. And I did. I mean, maybe 5 minutes. I didn't time it, but that's what it felt like. And then all of a sudden, everything was cool. And I was like, okay, I can go on. I can go home and go see Brad and everything's fine. And it was great.
That's awesome. Well, that really shows you how your prefrontal part of your brain is able, because through meditation, that even though you're getting stressed, you're able to recover in a much better way. And there's a little pause sometimes between the response before you might react from, you know, having experienced stress. There's a little pause and you kind of can make that decision to calm down. And sometimes we do react in stress, but you still recover in a much better way. That's great. I know meditation, many people tell me when they first meditate that, oh, I don't think it's working because I'm still getting stressed. And I always say, well, you're still going to experience the full range of human emotions that we all experience. It's just that you will be able to recover faster and respond better. So kudos to you for your great, great work. It, sometimes it's too that it's the daily little experiences that can stress us the most. And sometimes it's the big events that we actually sometimes respond to in a better way, but it's the daily little irksome things that happen that can really build up.
Yeah. And I have to say, ever since that day, that Sunday, so what's today, Thursday, it's only been 4 days, but you know, stress has come up every day. And what I've noticed in myself is that when something stressful does come up, again, it could be something just very small, like the coffee machine at work isn't working or something like that. And I feel that moment, you know, kind of where your chest tenses up or your shoulders tense up. And I've been able to stop myself and say, okay, this is what I'm feeling. And I'm getting stressed, but I have a choice. Do I have to get stressed or can I let that go? And I'm able to think through that. And that's been happening for 4 days now. And I expect it's going to keep happening, but it's a really amazing feeling to think that I have a choice in how I respond to the stress. And I don't think that would have come about if it hadn't been for all the meditation work I've been doing with Sip and Om and the Daily Meditation Podcast. It's really been such a help.
Oh, thank you. Well, I congratulate you for doing it. You know, a lot of people, it's like they sign up for a fitness program, but they don't actually go and do it. But it's the same with meditation. So for you, you know, it only works if you do it. So you're obviously doing really well. Well, how long have you meditated? You said it began in 2013, or was that 2010?
I can't remember when I actually started with the Daily Meditation Podcast, but I know that I started exploring the idea of meditation and trying different things probably around like 2013, 2014. It's got to be around there sometime. And like I said, I tried a few different things. I mean, I can't remember if Headspace was out at that time, but I remember trying some different recordings and just nothing really clicking until I found the Daily Meditation Podcast.
Oh, well, you know, it must have been 2014 because that's when I started the podcast.
Yeah, that must have been it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Well, I really feel honored. You are one of the original listeners. Oh, gosh. So I'm in the process of making t-shirts and I want to give, you know, fellow meditators, you know, some t-shirts that, you know, just to say thank you or something. I'll come up with.
Oh, how nice.
Can you describe a little bit about your meditation ritual?
Sure. So I am an early riser. When possible, I get up at 4 o'clock every morning, and it's not always possible because sometimes I have to work overnight shifts and sometimes I have to work until 10 or 11 at night. But, you know, if I'm on a day side shift or I'm not working, I get up at 4 a.m. I love it because everything's quiet and I'm just a morning person. And so what I do is, you know, I roll out of bed and I roll into my little meditation room, which I'm in right now. I do some exercise. I might do some about 20, 30 minutes of Pilates, which I love, or yoga, or some strength training with dumbbells or something. I've never been a gym person. Even pre-pandemic, I've always preferred to work out at home. So I'll do that first. And then after that's all done, I've had some water and I cool down. Usually by then it's about 4:30, 4:45-ish. And then I turn on, I listen to the app. So I turn on whatever day we're on at the app. And I know we don't have to stick with the days, but I am a very meticulous person and I will stick with the day because I just do. I like how it all, if it's Friday, I want to be listening to the Friday session, I guess. I don't know I want to call everything a broadcast, but it's not a broadcast. The Friday session, or if it's a Wednesday, I want to listen to that one. So I'll turn on whichever day we're on. And then while I'm listening to your introduction and the inspiration, I do some more stretching, really focused on my spine. I do a lot of, you know, cat cow and bending left and right. I'll do some down dogs because for me, it's really important to get my spine moving and to really open up the spine to start letting the energy move through there. And then when you get to the point where you start doing the guided relaxation, that's when I go into my zone for meditating. Now, I've heard what you said about don't lie down, sit up. I lie down and I do that because I can't sleep on my back. I've never been able to, so there's no fear of that with me. But also, I spend most of my days sitting up. You know, I'm constantly at work. I'm sitting in a chair for, you know, 12 hours a day, or I'm sitting in my car, or I'm just sitting. And when I lie down on my back, that signals relaxation to me. I've never fallen asleep. So if I did, I probably wouldn't do that anymore, but that hasn't happened yet. So I lie down, I've got a little pillow for my head, and I open up a window in my room, which kind of looks out into the trees. Cause I listen to what you say about trying to let some natural air in. So even in the dead of winter, I'll crack open the window and I might just cover myself with a blanket if I'm cold. And then I go through the relaxation. And as I'm going through that, what I'm thinking is, this is my opportunity to relax so that I can let the energy really just flow through everything. And then I go through whatever technique you've introduced. And then after that, I really start working to try to figure out where my energy is settling. And I'm not so good at that right now, but I try to feel like what's tingling? Like, where's the energy? It's got to be somewhere. And sometimes I find it and sometimes I don't. But once I figure out where it is, if I can figure out where it is, then I really try to do like this thing where I try to move the energy through my body. So I take a deep breath in and I try to imagine that I'm breathing through my feet. And then like, I try to make the breath last all the way up, like through my feet, through my ankles, like through my whole body and up through my head. And so it's, you know, in the crown of my head. And then I try to hold it for a moment longer. And then I try to breathe out and kind of push it back down through my body and relax as I'm doing that all the way through my feet. I try to do like 3 of those breaths. And after that, I feel really, I feel like the energy is really passing through my whole body. And that's when I really start going into kind of the meditative experience. And like I said, that can last any duration of time, but lately it's been lasting longer than it ever has before. And I wanted to refer back to what you said before. It's a bit like a fitness program. I think it's like conditioning in a way, like meditative conditioning. You start off and your muscles or your energy or your mind, I don't know what it is, but it's not quite used to it. But the more you do it and the more you kind of condition to it, it just sort of happens naturally that you just, I don't know, it works a little bit better.
Well, I'm going to be customizing techniques throughout this week in honor of you. So these will be the Kristen series. And so I want to do that breath where you are laying down and you inhale and you kind of roll the breath up through your feet to the top of your head, and then you exhale and you roll it back down. Okay.
There's sometimes when, like, if I'm having a day where it's not going so well and I'm having trouble thinking, I try to sort of imagine like it's like this gold sparkly stuff, like going through my feet and then going through my body and then my torso and then my neck and shoulders and head, and then going back down. Sometimes that helps it go a little bit better if I'm getting stuck and it's not going so well.
That's perfect. So it's gold and sparkly. Okay. Yeah. Stay tuned for this amazing breathing technique coming your way. Okay. Well, that's great. Thank you. That's beautiful. And you don't have to sit up when you meditate. When your spine is straight, it really allows your consciousness to be more focused and alert. But that being said, really just meditate the whatever feels best for you. And it seems like this is working really well for you. And given your lifestyle where you're sitting down working a lot, it makes sense. You don't want to be seated again. So
yeah, that being said, I'm not opposed to it. You know, I mean, I have had some moments where, you know, some days where for some reason it just feels a little better to sit up. So I have. Majority of the time I'm lying down, but, you know, I'm open to sitting up too. And especially in work, I mentioned to you that I meditate before I start my work, once I'm in the newsroom and before work, and there I'm definitely sitting. So.
Oh yeah. Well, I want to ask you, what is your favorite mudra?
Oh, like every mudra every week is my favorite, but, I find myself, returning to, oh, I can't remember the name again. I find myself returning to the okay sign mudra.
Dhyana mudra. Okay.
That one. Yeah. But I also really like the one where your hands are in prayer.
Yes. The prayer mudra. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I can feel when I do that, I can feel kind of the energy going between my hands and sort of balancing everything. But then the mudra you've introduced this week, the digestive mudra, the elimination mudra.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that one might be my new favorite. But like I said, every week, whatever it is, it's my new favorite. There was one you talked about one time, the lotus blossom mudra. What was that? It was your hands are held like.
Oh yeah.
That. I can't remember, but it was whatever it was good. So.
Yeah. Oh, well, good. I'm so glad. How about your favorite chakra?
Boy. Probably the one for creativity, the one that's kind of in the pelvic area, because I do so much creative stuff that I feel like I can actually really visualize that one. And I like orange.
Oh yeah. Okay. How about your favorite affirmation? Or is there one you created on your own?
I like the one, peace flows through me.
Oh yeah.
I really like that one a lot, because that just, when I say that one, I just feel like everything is okay. It's like anything that I'm holding on to, anything I might be worried about or thinking a little too much about, I'm just like, oh, everything's fine. It's all going to be fine.
Yes. Oh, that's great. Okay. So I have the routine for your series. So now I want to ask you a little bit, if you would walk us through a day in your life, and especially because you're working in an epicenter for, you know, what's happening in the US right now, and so much is happening around the world. And so there is just a lot of energy and focus is right where you are. And so do you notice a big difference since the coronavirus, or, you know, is it just kind of work as usual? You know, there's always something going on in Washington, D.C. So yeah, if you just walk us through a day in your life, because even just what you do on top of your meditation ritual is so fascinating.
Yeah, my days, boy, every day seems different. My work days, like I said, they change. We operate on a shift schedule, 11-hour shifts, and we rotate every week. So I'm always working different days every week, and then the shifts change every month. So it can vary. Right now I'm on a shift where I work 9 in the morning till 8 at night. And I'm not working today, but I work tomorrow, Saturday and Sunday. So my routine varies depending on the shift I'm on, obviously, and the kind of sleep I can get. But for this, you know, this is a pretty typical schedule that I'm on. So, you know, my day starts at, like I said, 4 o'clock in the morning with my exercise and my meditation ritual. And then after that's over, I'll go downstairs and have a cup of coffee and turn on the news. I am a news junkie. I mean, I try to limit the amount of news, but ever since I was a kid, I do like to watch the news. So, you know, I'll catch up on the news and, you know, I'll catch up on my email, because the other thing I do at Reuters is I run our peer support network. I have my regular job as a video journalist, a producer, but I also run, I'm the global coordinator of our peer support network. And so I check my email in the morning just to see if there's anything I have to address with the peer network, because we have about 60 peer supporters all over the world. So we're talking different time zones, and, you know, I could wake up to an email about a problem, you know, that somebody's having, or a peer has a question in Singapore or India, especially these days. So I'll do that. And I just try to take my time through the morning. I don't like to rush through my morning. So I do that. And then, you know, once Brad is up, that's my partner, we spend some time hanging out together and just, you know, chatting and watching the news and drinking coffee and having breakfast. And, you know, our dog Sally, she's lying around there too. And so we're giving her breakfast and hanging out with her and doing everything you do with a dog. And then I usually leave for work at about 8 in the morning, depending on traffic. I get in about 9. I've been going to the office throughout the pandemic. Because I'm on the video side, it's more important for us to be in the office, but the text people, because Reuters has a text side also, they've largely been working from home. It's been safe because we've been in this enormous newsroom and we've kept it down to a skeleton staff. We're all masked. We all have temperature checks before we go in. So it's been very safe. And once I'm in, you know, the work starts and the editor of the day will tell us what's going on in the news, what we're expecting for the day, what kind of speeches are coming up, or news conferences, or rallies, or anything like that, press briefings. And basically these days, because of the way the technology, we can pretty much bring in all of these events, raw video, we can bring it into the newsroom. And we all receive our assignments, like, okay, you know, Kristen, you're going to listen to the White House briefing at 12, and so-and-so, you're going to listen to the White House coronavirus briefing, and so-and-so, you know, there's a news conference going on in Minneapolis these days for the Chauvin trial, and you're going to listen to that. And so then, you know, we all have our assignments, we listen to whatever we're going to listen to, and we decide what the news is out of that. And then we cut our edits based on that and send them out to our clients. And that is going on throughout the day. I mean, the producers come in on different shifts and the assignment editors hand out the assignments throughout the day. And some days are a lot busier than others. You know, during the Trump administration, it was really, really busy. I mean, it was kind of back to back to back to back, because there was just always something going on, especially pre-election with the rallies. The day of the Capitol attack was really crazy, because we actually had our Reuters cameramen in the field. They were at the Capitol. And so there was the concern for them on top of just the news that we were trying to process. So the days can vary. On this shift, my day ends at about 8 o'clock, and I get home, you know, between 8:45 and 9, and, you know, just try to spend some time with Brad, just, you know, talking about the day and with Sally, and But then I try to, I go to bed really early. And so at that point, I'll try to get to bed usually by, you know, 10 at the latest. It's hard for me to stay up any later. And then everything changes. On days when I'm not working, it's all up for grabs.
Wow. You have a really structured schedule, and that's great. And yeah, you do a lot. You accomplish a lot in a day. You wake up early, you get off work at 8:45 or 9. That's long days. But I guess your type of work, the news, people rely on it. And so it never stops. The news never
stops. It doesn't. I'm actually in graduate school part-time. I'm getting a master's in social work because I've gotten, with all my work on the peer support network at Reuters over the past 5 years, I've gotten really interested in mental health, and especially the mental health for journalists, and, you know, not just journalists, but other other service fields where there's a high rate of burnout and trauma. You know, I'm thinking veterans and law enforcement and first responders, healthcare workers, teachers. So I'm hoping to transition at some point to become a psychotherapist and work with these populations.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. And I would like to ask you, if you have one piece of advice for your fellow meditators, just one piece of advice, what would it be? Could be about meditation, about life in general. What would it be?
I think the advice I have goes for meditation and life in general. And, you know, it's kind of back to what I said before about managing your expectations. You know, with meditation, be patient with yourself, manage your expectations with life. I think a lot of people set their expectations to unrealistic levels, and then they start feeling, you know, they start feeling bad about themselves if they feel that they can't meet them. And then, you know, when you feel bad about yourself, then you start getting upset and angry, and then that just kind of all goes out into the world. And it's understandable, but it's also avoidable. And along those lines, I just really think this idea of just doing the best you can within your little area of the world. I know that sounds cliche, but I've really found for me, you know, instead of having these huge ideas about going out and like launching big campaigns to change huge things at once, I'm like, okay, let's just start small and do what I can small, and then kind of work out from there based on that. And for me, that's worked better. I think it might help other people.
Yeah, that's great advice. So we have a challenge every week, as you know. Please give your fellow meditators the weekly challenge.
What I would say, this is something that I've always liked to do whenever I felt stuck, is to sit down and really think about and reflect, maybe even write down if that works for you. Answer the question, if I could do anything right now, taking away any practical considerations, like don't take, you know, finances or family or location or anything like that into your answer. Just think, if I could do absolutely anything I wanted to do right now, no holds barred, what would it be? And then, you know, kind of think about that, reflect on that, think about what it is, and then, you know, sort of work backwards from that. And maybe you can bring that back to and find some way to accomplish what you want to do, but within the realistic boundaries that we all have. And I'll just give an example of how I apply that to myself. Because like I said, this is something that I do every time I really feel like I'm getting stuck. And back in, you know, one very key moment for me was back in 99, I think, or 98, I can't remember now, but I was working for NBC News, and I learned a lot, and it was a great experience. I'd been there for about 3 years, but it wasn't really the kind of journalism that I wanted to do, and I was really not enjoying the work anymore. And so I really felt stuck. I'm like, well, what am I going to do? Like, where do I find another job? But nothing really felt right to me. And I was like, well, okay, if I could do anything I wanted to do, what would it be? I'm like, I want to travel. It was really clear to me. I'm like, I want to travel. And that was what resonated. I'm like, okay, good. I've got this. So if I know I want to travel, how can I do that? You know, I mean, yeah, could I just pick up and go? Well, I guess, but that wouldn't feel very responsible. So what I wound up doing was thinking about fellowships and like who could pay me to travel. And so I wound up applying for a Fulbright. And I, you know, it was a long application process and it took a lot of work, but I applied for a Fulbright to go study about journalists and journalists' well-being in El Salvador and Nicaragua, since the war is in both countries. And I got the Fulbright and I was able to spend a little over a year down there. And it was an amazing experience, which led to my job at Reuters on the Latin American desk, which led to Haiti and the Daily Medications and Meditation podcast, and which led to me being here. It's funny how that happens. So I find that exercise, whenever I feel stuck, that exercise really is eye-opening for me to help me figure out what I really want.
Oh, that's a perfect challenge. So maybe every day this week, people could wake up and just think about, if I could do anything, what would it be?
With no limitations, just take yourself outside of the practical.
Okay, so that is the weekly challenge. All right, so thank you for that. And do you have a shout out you'd like to do? Give a shout out to people that you're grateful for. You can mention their name, their location, or just anything.
Gosh, there are so many people. You know, obviously Brad, who's downstairs right now. Brad's been great. We've been together for a very long time and he's wonderful. And my dad and my brother who are up in Connecticut, my mom who is passed away, but out in the world somewhere. You know, Bear and Charlotte, my horse and my dog, and my best friend Liz in Richmond, and all my riding friends who are scattered across Virginia, my work colleagues, lots of people. I'm grateful for very many people.
That's wonderful. Okay, so we just send gratitude to all those people for just being part of your world. So now this is the OM round, and this is where it's just a quick reflection to these questions. So your favorite place to meditate?
My room inside my house, my little meditation room you see behind me.
It's beautiful. I love the picture.
Thank you. That was from Nicaragua.
Your favorite meditation technique?
Breathing, but lately it's become breathing plus mudra. Like the combination is very powerful.
Okay. And a book that you might recommend to people about anything?
I think for meditators, what I found is really wonderful for meditation are Aesop's Fables. They're very short. They're very simple. They boil things down to these very clear truths that we don't always think about. And it's fun to just kind of flip through and kind of see where you land and what resonates with you. And I find that a lot of times the fable will kind of imbue my meditation.
That's fantastic. Okay, the best way for listeners to reach you?
Email, because I'm not on social media. So anybody is welcome to email me. It's kneubauer1@gmail.com. And that's kneubauer1@gmail.com.
The number one. Mm-hmm. Okay. @gmail.com. Mm-hmm. That's very nice that you are allowing people to email you. And what is a legacy that you would like to leave?
Boy, that's a tough one. It's hard to think about leaving. but I think it's pretty simple. It's just, you know, anybody who I come in contact with, I would like to think that in some way I've helped make, you know, that day, their life, the moment, you know, a little bit better. You know, I would hate to leave behind a legacy that I made it a little bit worse. So I'd really like to make it a little bit better, yeah. Whatever that time is that we've crossed paths.
That's beautiful. Is there something small you feel everyone could do to make the world a better place?
I think kind of like I mentioned before, this idea of just really focusing on what's local, what's just around you, what they say, your own little corner of the world, just your own space, and just make that a little bit better in whatever way works for you. And I really do feel like that just ripples out to other people, which will ripple out to other people. I've seen it with myself. I've seen it with friends of mine. So it must work.
Yes, I agree. All right. And is there a cause you'd like to give a shout out to?
I would say animal adoption. I mean, wherever you are, just think about your local shelter. If you want to get an animal or a local rescue, and, you know, just animals need homes.
Great. Well, there's one final thing that I would love to ask you to do. Would you tell your fellow meditators what I always say at the end of every meditation?
Yes. You are so worth slowing down for.
Thank you.
Thank you
so much, Kristen. It was a pleasure having you. I really appreciate you coming on.
Oh, thank you. It was so much fun. I really enjoyed the opportunity to kind of think about and explore all these questions and hopefully connect with all the other meditators out there. I'm so curious to hear other interviews that you have coming up.
So that is your fellow meditator, Kristen. What an amazing journey. I so appreciate Kristen sharing her experiences and sharing her well wishes for you. Now I invite you to settle yourself down and spend a little time going inward.